The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. This is a long one, and where the print is in bold, we'll read those together. Those words together. John 9:1-41. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been born blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" The parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for a second time, they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. That was a long one. You know, I've told this story a few times, but I'm going to tell it again because it gets right to the heart of this morning's gospel reading. Many years ago, on a Sunday morning, Marta and I arrived at the church we'd been attending for quite a while, the biggest church in Washington, Oregon, or Idaho. We found our seats in the usual place, near the back, and settled in. I didn't stay settled very long, though. The sermon was unsettling, especially for me. That week, on the front page of the Seattle Times newspaper, there was a story about SeaFirst Bank, the biggest and oldest bank in the state. And SeaFirst had agreed to issue an affinity card for a local gay pride organization. An affinity card is issued in the name of a nonprofit organization, say the Northwest Garden Club, for example. You request one of their affinity credit cards, and every time you use it, a tiny, tiny percentage of the money you spend goes to the Northwest Garden Club. So it was on the front page of the Seattle Times that SeaFirst Bank had agreed to issue an affinity card for the Seattle Gay Pride organization. The pastor of that huge church was livid. He marched back and forth across the big stage in front of the sanctuary, imploring the gathered worshipers to punish SeaFirst Bank for this decision. If you have a mortgage with SeaFirst Bank, refinance your house. If you have an account with SeaFirst Bank, close it. The reason this was so unsettling for me is that I worked for SeaFirst Bank. And I was proud to work for SeaFirst Bank. SeaFirst was a great employer with a fantastic reputation in the industry. But as I sat in the pew that morning and at home later that afternoon, I considered very seriously if I should quit my job or not. But we like to eat. So I didn't quit. I mentioned Wednesday at our Lenten service that we in the church tend to divide the world into two camps, sinners and saints. But looking at people that way, as being either sinner or saint, is not only inaccurate, it robs you of peace and chips away at your assurance that God loves you. Why is that? Well, take a look at this story in John chapter 9, the story of Jesus healing the man born blind, and the Pharisees in Jerusalem reacting to that healing. This incident sparked a local debate in the streets about whether Jesus himself is a sinner or a saint. The story starts when Jesus and his entourage passed a blind man, a man born blind, and one of the disciples asked Jesus, "Who's to blame for this? Who sinned?" And Jesus explained, "That's not the issue. We're not here to assign blame. The issue is that God will take this unfortunate event and create something good out of it." And of course, the implication is that God will take what is unfortunate in your life, and in your life also, he'll create something good out of it. But back to the story. Jesus immediately healed the man who is blind from birth by putting mud in his eyes and asking him to wash in the pool of Siloam. And immediately, the neighborhood erupted. Those who'd known the man all his life as a blind beggar and now saw him walking around, able to see like everyone else, were flabbergasted. And the question arose in the neighborhood, is this even the same guy? How could that possibly be? So they brought the formerly blind man into the temple to ask the Pharisees, the local leaders. Some of those Pharisees were probably members of the Sanhedrin, the same group who would soon crucify Jesus. The backstory on this is that just the day before, Jesus had gotten into it with these same Pharisees. It started when they brought in a woman caught in the act of adultery and challenged Jesus, saying, "She's a sinner. The law says to stone her. What do you say?" Well, you know the story. Jesus forgave her. But then things escalated. In the ensuing conversation recorded in John 8, Jesus identified himself as God. "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And the Pharisees went absolutely nuts, totally enraged that Jesus would claim to be God. So now, the next day, as we just read, a group of locals showed up at the temple courtyard wanting to talk with these same Pharisees about this man who was born blind but now can see. Because guess who? Jesus healed him. And a huge crowd gathered at the temple. The neighbors testified. The formerly blind man's parents testified. The formerly blind man himself testified. And the end result was that the Pharisees condemned Jesus as a sinner because even if he did heal the blind man, he did it on the Sabbath day, and that is a sin. And while they were at it, they also condemned the formerly blind man too. So here we have Jesus, the only person to ever walk the face of the earth without sin, condemned as a sinner by the religious authorities in Jerusalem, the very same people who later arranged his crucifixion. You know, I started this morning by telling the story of another religious authority, the pastor of the largest church in the Northwest, who also condemned a group of people as sinful, and even condemned a business that cooperated with that group of people as sinful. Well, so what? Isn't that group of people sinful? Absolutely. And so am I. And so are you. And so is that pastor. And I'm not saying that anybody's sinful behavior should be condoned. Not at all. But here's the rest of the story. Just a few years after SeaFirst Bank issued an affinity card to the Seattle Gay Pride group, that pastor who had so vociferously condemned that action was arrested in a public men's room in Florida for doing what they did in that public bathroom. In other words, the man who so forcefully condemned homosexual behavior struggled with that very issue himself. The point is, separating people into saint and sinner creates the mirage that some of us actually do keep God's law. But we don't. We're all simultaneously both saint and sinner. And we're called to see ourselves as we really are. Jesus emphasized that over and over and over in the parable of the prodigal son, in the parable of the good Samaritan, in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Over and over, Jesus tears down this distinction of us and them. Sinner and saint. There is no us and them when it comes to sin. We all sin. And being aware of that is the beginning of repentance, turning away from sin. You've been forgiven and redeemed. You're the recipient of a priceless gift, a sinner saved by grace through faith. And even your faith is a gift from God. Read Ephesians 2. Well, so what? What does forgiveness mean? It means freedom. Freedom to quit pretending. Quit hiding and pretending to be somebody that you're not. It's freedom to be honest with God and maybe even honest with others. It also means peace and rest and hope in your life. If you find yourself embroiled in habitual sin, a shameful habit or anger too familiar and comfortable to let go of, God offers you peace and rest that comes from forgiveness and the hope for change that comes from God's promises. Forgiveness also means confidence, confidence that despite your failures, your life is firmly in God's strong hands. Your life is in His loving embrace. It's confidence that you'll be with Him in heaven someday, forgiven and free from guilt and sadness and regret, free from sin at last. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you help us to see ourselves as we really are, to recognize that we, like everyone else, are simultaneously saint and sinner. And though we battle against sin all of our lives, we will be free from it someday with you in heaven. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.